This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
LA, you see what happened on what would have been Bellinger's home run? Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Why is Kevin Durant so sensitive? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. And I got to say something about Major League Baseball moving the All-Star game out of Georgia, out of Atlanta. Let me tell you something about the history of this country. After slavery, there was something called Reconstruction. And one of what happened in the South, especially, was that there was an effort underfoot to disenfranchise newly enfranchised black voters so that as little as black people had coming out of slavery, their political power was crushed because they would purge black people from voter rolls, basically. They enacted laws making it difficult, poll taxes and literacy tests. You know, black people were, it was illegal to know how to read. It was contraband, baby. You can't know how to read because you wanted to keep slaves ignorant and powerless. And so that all the laws that were directed toward taking the vote away from black people, and it worked. There were some southern states where black people went from the tens of thousands of voters after the Civil War to a few hundred or something like that, basically wiped them out as a political voice. And what we see now underfoot in the guise of making sure that there's no voter fraud, and there was very, very little voter fraud as a percentage of votes, and it didn't cut one way or another, as opposed to the lies you've heard told by politicians and their lackeys. Really, what's underfoot again, once again, is to disenfranchise certain voters. Now, the fact of the matter is there's no other way to say this. Every analysis tells you the same thing, that it's Republican lawmakers, and even some of them will tell you, yes, well, we want to win elections doing this. But this disproportionately affects black voters. And I'm very happy that Major League Baseball is taking a stand. This is, first of all, a kind of a moral issue if you're an American, right? We people should be voting and participating in the process. But particularly if you're aware of our history, you can't be hiding under a rock not to be aware of our history. Laws that disproportionately affect black people's ability to vote, African Americans' ability to vote, particularly in the South, are disgusting, shameful, and there should be social sanctions against those who push for it. Bravo, Major League Baseball. Hey, the state of Georgia, you just lost the All-Star game. That was really a malicious, those are malicious laws just passed by lawmakers in the state of Georgia. All right, now. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Clayton Kershaw gets roughed up in Colorado, and a base-running blunder nullifies a home run by the Dodgers' Cody Bellinger. Bellinger lined what appeared to be a two-run home run to left center in the third inning, a ball that hit off the glove of the outfielder and bounced over the fence. Turner was on first base at the time, believed the ball was caught, right? So as he retreated back to first base, Bellinger passed him in the confusion, prompting the umpires to call him out. You can't pass the base runner in front of you. This actually happened to, this same kind of thing happened to Lou Gehrig and Babe Ruth one year. You know, Lou Gehrig, the Iron Horse, Cal Ripken broke his streak, the great Yankees first baseman, one of the greatest hitters of all time. They hit in the same lineup, Gehrig and Ruth, of course. That's, by the way, that's where the numbers on your uniforms come from. Used to be where you hit in the lineup. So Ruth wore 3, he hit 3rd, and Gehrig wore 4, he hit 4th. And one year, every year, Ruth overshadowed Gehrig because he was a little better as a hitter. Gehrig was great. And Gehrig hit a home run one year, and I think it was Lynn Larry was the name of the player who, for whatever reason, never touched home. He was the guy on base. And Gehrig didn't notice it, so he touched home. And Gehrig was awarded, I think he was called out and awarded a triple or something weird like that. Point is, at the end of the season, Both Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig wound up with 46 home runs. And I'm not saying it would have worked out this way, but had Gehrig been, you know, awarded that home run, he'd have had 47. He wouldn't have had to tie with Ruth. He could have had it himself. So that's an old baseball story I grew up with. Anyway, Dave Roberts, Los Angeles Dodgers manager at the press conference on the Bellinger non-home run.
That, I don't think there's a blame to be placed, Bill. I think that Cody was coming out of the box hard, which he should have, and he's kind of looking at where the ball's at, going hard. Justin was just past second base, I think, and then when he saw the ball in Tapia's glove, he retreated and, you know, put his head down to try to get back to potentially be doubled up. And then at that point in time, they just kind of got crossed right there at Detroit first and second.
Yeah, it's going to happen sometimes. I agree with Skip. I agree with the skipper there, with Dave Roberts. It's going to happen sometimes. The kind of like funky stuff happens in baseball. Baseball's one sport. I love this about baseball. You will frequently see things in baseball that you have never seen before. You know? Like they play 160, at this point, 30 teams play 162 games a year, or until recently that was the case. And all those innings of baseball, time, so 30 times 162 times 9 innings minimum. All those plays times 3 outs an inning. All those plays, and if you've been watching baseball for almost 50 years, and I have, I'm 47, I've been watching since I was like 44 years, 45 years. You still see stuff that, like, I haven't seen that before. Anyway, Kevin Durant apparently, he and, well, let me start again. Michael Rappaport, the actor and podcast host, was critical of Kevin Durant doing a post-game interview with Charles Barkley. And he put it on social media, being critical of Durant, like, hey, you're too sensitive. KD apparently was then DMing Rappaport. And Rappaport took a selection of those direct messages. I don't believe they're all of them, but a selection of them. And posted it on social media. Like, and among the messages he got from Durant that he chose to show were messages about from Durant using anti-gay language in insulting Michael Rappaport, or trying to, and also threats about going to see him in person and spit on him. Kevin Durant spoke about this at the Nets press conference. He addressed this. Listen to KD.
I'm sorry that people seen the language I use. That's not really what I want people to see and hear from me. Hopefully I can move past it and get back out on the floor.
I respect the fact that he says, you know, he's sorry that people, he doesn't want people to hear that from him. But before, like, athletes are real quick, hopefully I can move past it. Yep, I certainly, KD, you should be able to move past this, you know, relatively in a relatively straightforward way. But I think it starts with taking responsibility, and that is, it's not just that people heard it, it's that you used the language. Now, cursing someone out is cursing. If you just curse someone out, that's one thing. But if you use anti-gay language to insult someone, that's not okay. So I think you have to apologize for that, right? Like, look, the language I used, if anyone is inferring from what I said that I think it's bad to be gay, that is not my intention. I apologize if that's what came through, and I have to be more careful about that in the future. That's a pretty straightforward thing to say. The next thing is, there was a threat in there. Like, if there's a threat published in writing, even if you didn't intend anyone else to see it, you get in trouble for that. So, like, I think KD has to own that part of it, show some understanding of it. And I think he does understand. It seems to me that KD is being kind of willful there. Like, I ain't apologizing for what I did. I'm just apologizing that it became public. And so just moving past it before you acknowledge the things you really ought to acknowledge, to me, that's not so easy. Coach Steve Nash said the organization had a conversation with KD about the language used. And look, I appreciate certain things about KD, I think, that are easy to miss. Including, like, do I think KD has thin skin? Do I think he gets sensitive? Yeah, I do. I think, and then when he goes at someone harder and harder, as he did with Rappaport, it's like, but you're damning yourself with each word because you're proving the charge of being sensitive. On the other hand, I also appreciate the fact that KD treat, like, why are you reacting to some anonymous person on Twitter? Well, because they're a person. And just because they're not like a verified account, he cares about that person too. In other words, he respects people and expects the same respect in return. I think when he doesn't get it, it sets him off. Mina Kimes, ESPN NFL analyst. NFL Live. Mina.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going good. Have you been on this show yet?
I don't think so. I was just thinking that to myself, hearing you.
Yes, I love your analysis in football. I'm glad to have you on. It's been too long that it's taken Raj, it's Raj's fault, my producer, to book you. At any rate, I had a theory I wanted to run by you, Mina. I ran it by Dominic Foxworth earlier. I'm curious to know your thoughts.
Okay, hit me.
The NFL draft, as it relates to quarterbacks and quarterback evaluations, sometimes people are right and sometimes people are wrong. But one positive correlation that is inescapable to me is that white quarterbacks tend to rise versus black quarterbacks. African-American quarterbacks seem to fall. The general trend is they fall in the evaluation. So if there's a consensus number one pick like Kyler Murray, he indeed will go number one. But as I said, sometimes the evaluation's right. Dwayne Haskins, it turns out, probably isn't as good as Daniel Jones. Still early, but it looks that way. And so reaching for Jones or Jones rising and Haskins falling, okay, fine. But other times it's wrong. Probably more often it's wrong. Lamar Jackson went at the end of the first round. Deshaun Watson was picked 12th, right? Mitch Trubisky rose. The point is not whether the evaluation is right or wrong. It's that it does seem that black quarterbacks move one way in pre-draft evaluations and white quarterbacks the other way. To that you say what, Mina Kimes?
I think that certainly the examples you cite are pretty indicative of it. And when you look at Lamar, or, you know, kind of what seems to be happening with Justin Fields, although I'm reluctant to jump to any conclusions just yet because there's so much smoke around the San Francisco 49ers right now. What the commonality you see between these guys is stereotypes tend to rise to the forefront, not just about, you know, work ethic, which has been a kind of this conversation, but play, you know, their ability to process defenses. That was something that always infuriated me about Lamar Jackson, Max. He had flaws. He struggled at times with accuracy in college, but he ran a pro-style offense and had absolutely no trouble reading defenses. And yet, you heard this constant reiteration of these lazy tropes that do tend to resurface around this time of year with black quarterbacks, and I think tend to kind of infiltrate the conversation. And you're starting to hear that with Fields as well, even though many analysts, especially including ones at ESPN, have debunked that, and all you got to do is actually watch the tape. So I don't think the way we talk about these quarterbacks necessarily affects their draft stock per se, but I do think they reflect beliefs that do get circulated around the NFL and then tend to infiltrate the thinking of teams over the course of many years.
I think that's interesting the way you're framing it. In other words, when you talk stereotypes, Bill James once wrote this about and laziness, right? Because generalizations are lazy, but they're useful to us because they help us process a lot of information and kind of organize our thoughts. So Bill James wrote once about the Chicago Cubs and lineups generally, how Ryan Sandberg, a prototypical number three hitter, high batting average, lots of power, best hitter on the team, hit third. Now, by the way, since then we found out your best hitter should hit second, but this is from an era where we thought this guy was supposed to hit third. And Mark Grace, who was much more of a kind of high on base percentage singles and doubles guy, hit third. Sandberg hit second and Grace hit third because your second baseman was supposed to hit second and your first baseman third. But in fact, the way it was thought of back then, Sandberg was really more of a prototypical three-hitter and Grace a prototypical two-hitter. And yet, because of the way we it's not stereotype, but generalize, the way we're lazy thinkers, in fact, Sandberg hit second and Grace third. Again, nowadays, today, maybe that's correct. But back then, it was the product of generalizations. And so here what we're finding, and you touched on it, is not just the you called it lazy tropes, but one of the lazy tropes is about laziness. It's not just, well, they don't have work ethic. It's more subtle. It's that running an offense takes sophistication. And so oftentimes, the way I notice black quarterbacks generalized is they're not sophisticated enough. What does that mean? They don't process information fast enough. I see it with coordinators getting head coaching jobs. Well, now it's all about the offensive coordinators, and there aren't a lot of black offensive coordinators. Offense is more sophisticated. That's a kind of deeper, more insidious generalization, I think, that may affect people's draft status.
Well, I can't even count the number of times it's not just like random people on Twitter. I hear people on the radio talk about quarterbacks and their ability to go through progressions. And I'm like, I'll bet my 401k you have not watched this quarterback's film and you have no idea. You're just repeating the word progression because you feel like it makes you sound smart. But it cuts both ways, right? Like, it goes to white quarterbacks as well. For example, the other day I said on NFL Live, there hasn't been a successful pocket passer drafted in over 6 years, and there hasn't been a great one drafted since Matthew Stafford in 2009. I got some responses. Well, Burrow and Herbert look great. Burrow and Herbert are mobile as hell. Those guys can
Wait a minute. Matthew Stafford, great. That's what I'd respond to. We'll find out if he's great this
that's
year.
Fair,
Mina.
That's fair. But it's been a minute. And by the same token, Max, people talk about Mac Jones. I keep hearing about how, you know, he's pro-rated. He's run a complicated offense. And I'm like, I like Mac Jones. He's got incredible accuracy. He used more RPOs than any college quarterback in the entire draft. He threw to wide-open receivers. And again, that doesn't mean I think he's incapable of running a professional offense. I'm just saying you see, once again, people leaning on these preconceived notions about what these quarterbacks are capable of that actually have nothing to do with the tape.
By the way, like Scotty Miller, right? He's the burner. He's the guy who can get behind the defense. But when people saw white receiver, small white receiver, they assume, oh, he must be the slot guy. Like, it doesn't mean people are bad necessarily. Sometimes it does. It means that or even like when you call it lazy, I guess in a sense it is. But how do you get through your day without some lazy thinking, right? Like, we have to make generalizations constantly. And I think there are two things at work in the NFL. One, racial resentment among the white, you know, in the white power structure, which is why black people, black quarterbacks and coaches were, you know, basically excluded for so many years. But then also this dynamic that you're talking about and that I'm talking about, which is not so conscious or racist per se, but simply kind of the way people organize their thoughts.
Yeah, I think organizing thoughts is a great way to put it, because when we move throughout the world, we organize people into categories, and it's a lot easier to sort of make these generalizations rather than doing the work of understanding everything about another person. And this applies to the draft process. Heck, I mean, it's really hard. At this time of year, me and my colleagues covering the NFL, we are cramming, right? Like, I watch College Tape, I've seen Justin Fields, but man, you know, I haven't watched every second of Christian Darrisaw or whatever, and it takes a lot of work to not lean on assumptions or sort of to put players into boxes based on what we already know about football and to let their actual work speak for itself.
Well, Mina, as a woman, you better do that work or you'll never get anywhere. You're expected to know everything.
I'm doing my best.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but it is all about doing the work, and I think you know, when you do that work is when you start to see which of these quarterbacks actually are. And you start to see that the similarities that you lean on are actually usually tend to be ill-conceived. I mean, like I said this on our show, anyone who compares Justin Fields to Dwayne Haskins has to take their analyst card taken away because they have not watched him play. That doesn't mean that Justin Fields is going to be the greatest thing to slice bread. They're just wildly different. And I mean, it just, you know, it happens every year though.
The great Mina Kimes, ladies and gentlemen, I highly suggest you check her out on the highly entertaining and informative TV program on ESPN, NFL Live. Mina, thank you so much for joining me today. Hope to have you back soon.
Anytime. Take care.
Mina, like, and by the way, for women in the industry like Mina, this is said about African-American people in this country 4 years, yet, you know, it's twice as hard. You have to be twice as good to get half as far. That applies to a lot of women in the broadcast industry as well. But if you want to listen to someone who knows everything about football and has watched all the tape and has actually put in the work, check Mina out on NFL Live. I always learn something when I watch it. Our technical leader, Brendan, was in the zone for being smarter than Max today. He knew all the steroid cheats who had hit home runs, and I was relying on my knowledge of the real guys, the old guys, the Frank Robinsons and Harmon Killebrews. Nevertheless, Get in the Zone is brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the Zone, AutoZone. Is Draymond Green giving up on the season? No doubt's coming up. Baseball is back. And DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports, is putting you on the field with a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Just pick 10 players, standard the salary cap, and pile up points for hits, runs, strikeouts, and more. Download the DraftKings app now and use code MAX to get a free shot at a share of millions of dollars up for grabs this week with your first deposit. That's code MAX only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. You can save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Visit progressive.com for details. I'm pausing for image. Gonna get right down to it.
We got you covered.
Let me tell you what I think it means.
No doubt.
Okay. What do we have on No Doubt today, Raj? By the way, did you see how I paused for imaging?
Oh, that was
imaging
very good.
Is that's the voice. No Doubt is presented by paused for imaging, just like it said on my screen, and then nothing happened.
Well, that's all right. We got lots going on back there, but that was a good job. But hey, you heard Draymond Green, but you understand Draymond Green saying fighting for a play-in spot doesn't motivate me.
No doubt, because in baseball and football, you want to fight to get in and anything could happen. The worst team in the playoffs could win the World Series or the Super Bowl. Worst team could do it. Not in basketball. Basketball is not, or in March Madness, but basketball is a 7-game series in the NBA. And we have a pretty good idea who the best teams are every year anyway. It's much more determinative and much less probabilistic basketball. So, for various reasons, you can run your plays, do your best player on every play, or do your best players. They have lots of chances at every, at any rate. So the Warriors have no chance to win the championship this year. There's nothing that could happen where the Warriors can win the championship. So who cares if they get in the play-in game or not? When Klay Thompson gets back, they'll be contenders again.
All right, fair enough. Hey, shouts out to you. Happy birthday, Eddie Murphy. He turns 60 years old this weekend.
Whoa.
Max, 60. That's
Eddie
right.
60?
That's right. Been a long time since he was on that bus on that Saturday Night Live skit. Hey, check it out. He's done a lot. He's done an awful lot. But give me his three greatest movies, according to Max.
All right. Chronological order. Mm-hmm. Trading Places was his first great movie. Now, 48 Hours, I may prefer it, but I'm trying to be objective, and think about the movie making, the role he had in it, what he's known for, the whole thing. So Trading Places is one chronologically. Two would be Beverly Hills Cop. That was a monster. That's really what put him over the top after Trading Places in 48 Hours. Beverly Hills Cop. And then three, it has to be Coming to America. So okay. I'm going to say that 48 Hours and Harlem Nights don't make the cut. But those three in chronological order, Trading Places, Beverly Hills Cop, Coming to America for Eddie Murphy.
What kind of a No Doubt question was that?
I agree.
You slow your roll, I'm about to ask you. Two-word answer, you saw Coming to America too.
Nah, son.
All right, moving on.
But not because I don't want to see it. I don't have anyone in my house who will watch it with me.
You had long enough. We told you it was going to be whack.
I'm watching it. I'm watching it this weekend.
Take a listen to our friend Chris Canty, who was on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
The Packers are telling you that they're preparing for life after Aaron Rodgers. One front last offseason was with the personnel. This front, this offseason, is with the financial house and making sure that they can have Aaron Rodgers on a year-to-year proposition rather than committing cap dollars and resources to him in future years. So I think that this is Mark Murphy in his roundabout way of saying, we're getting ready for life after Aaron Rodgers. We don't know exactly when that is, but because we gave him that contract in 2018, we're going to be the ones to determine when exactly that happens, not the player.
You heard him. The Packers are preparing for life after Aaron Rodgers.
No doubt. Obviously, they drafted a quarterback. Now, first of all, means that they really, like, to take Jordan Love means that they didn't just decide this year we're going to take a quarterback. They decided within, like, a 2 to 3 year window, probably, when we see a quarterback we think will be great, we're going to grab him, right? And that we could actually get in the draft because they usually have a good record. And Jordan Love, they grabbed. They think he's going to be the next great one. When you look at the Packers, I mean, there was time between Bart Starr and Brett Favre, but, you know, that's pretty, you know, Bart Starr and then Brett Favre, and then during Brett Favre's reign, they draft Aaron Rodgers, and Rodgers was even better than Favre. Now they have Jordan Love, and they're preparing for life after Aaron Rodgers. The thing is, what Tom Brady just showed you is these dudes play into their mid-40s nowadays, early mid-40s. Who knows how much time Rodgers has left?
Okay. All right, and last one, Sylvester Stallone. He's working on ideas for a Rocky prequel series. Max would watch young Rocky Balboa live through the 1960s.
Yeah, no doubt. You know I would. By the way, I don't even know if it's the 60s. He probably has Rocky Balboa as a young fighter coming up in the early 70s, right? It's going to be interesting to see how he has, like, who's champion. Is it Apollo Creed or Muhammad Ali? Because remember, they introduced Joe Frazier at one of the fights. So, Max, like, he's kind of blended his world with the fictional world. I'm going to be curious. But like, the Rocky character, we've now been through six Rockies and two Creeds. Not just me. Obviously, there are millions of people who will follow this character. It could be like Rocky steps in a time machine and goes back to fight the dinosaurs. I probably
won't. Max, I think you got it wrong. I don't think it's going to be in the ring. I think, remember the first Rocky? He was like a money collector for the mob. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think it's going to be that Rocky, the guy around the streets walking
around.
But
was Rocky 76? So, like, how far? So, like, you're still in the 70s. I don't think you're going back to the 60s. But maybe the 60s. All right. I don't know. I want to be in it. I can't play myself, obviously, but I still want to be in it.
All right.
That's right. So don't be surprised if you see me pop up in those Rocky prequels.
Oh, that'll be great.
So I was in Rocky Balboa, Creed, and Creed 2. Mm-hmm. By the way, I had like one of the biggest parts in Creed 2. I couldn't believe it. It was a big stretch for me in Creed 2. I had to play devastatingly handsome, super genius broadcast.
I'll see how you did it.
It was a stretch, but I did it. His name went by the name Max Kellerman, in case you watch Rocky Balboa, which is a great movie, or Creed 1 or Creed 2, all critically acclaimed. LeBron James, that's LeBron James, in case you were thinking I was talking about the other LeBron, is going to be involved with decision-making for Liverpool. What's a Liverpool? Hear from a true Liverpool fan. Next! It's time for some straight talk. Sure, saving money feels good, but cutting your wireless bill in half? That feels really good. Like walk-off home run in the ninth inning good. All right, maybe not that good, but pretty damn good. Pretty darn good, sorry. With straight talk, you can get 25 gigs of high-speed data for $45 a month, up to 50% less than the other guys. Plus, no contract. All on America's best networks. Why pay a whole lot when you can pay half? Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Last take coming up.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. As I look for my Zoom screen, also can be seen on ESPN Plus. Were you aware of that, Raj, that this can be viewed on ESPN Plus, which is a tremendous service? ESPN Plus, the best bang for your entertainment dollar. Have I ever mentioned that before? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. LeBron in Liverpool. LeBron to help run Liverpool, which is apparently a soccer club. How do you pronounce that? Where's the accent on that word? Is it on the sa or the cur? And how is it played, Raj? Anyone? Does anyone know? Brendan? Is anyone aware? At any rate, LeBron, apparently this is a big hit, this soccer overseas, both in South America and in Europe, and in fact all over the world where they don't have real sports. LeBron apparently is to help run Liverpool. EPL club chairman would be surprised if LeBron isn't involved in management decisions after becoming an ownership partner. In an interview with The Athletic, Liverpool chairman Tom Werner said he thinks the four-time NBA MVP will weigh in on decisions for the English Premier League club. I don't know how much LeBron knows about soccer, but at any rate, I want to have someone on the show from that neck of the woods who may have an opinion on LeBron. It seems to me that LeBron has proven to be an excellent GM, de facto GM, in basketball. He seems to have very good judgment. And maybe, you know what, it'll help recruit players to Liverpool. I don't know. Anyway, Jamie from Liverpool is our guest. Or Oliver. Oliver's a more British name. Oliver, are you there?
Yes. Yeah, I'm here, Max.
Okay, what do you... I think it's probably a good thing for LeBron James to be involved in decisions. I think his presence there will help recruit. As a soccer fan, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, I don't, you know, Max, I don't really think it's that good of an idea, really. I don't think that he, look, in the basketball world, I understand that he can play the game of basketball and it's different. He can get his mates in and they can all play the game of basketball together.
Mates.
Soccer, as you called it, it's actually called football over here, mate. But either way, I like his money. His money can come in. He can do things with the money and the commercialization of the club and that. But I don't think he's going to know how to get players for the Liverpool team and make the team any better. I'm not sure about that, mate.
I see. Well, there's one fan, Oliver, who says he's not happy about LeBron's decision. Okay, well, we'll have to see how this goes. LeBron James is... look, Werner said he'll welcome not just LeBron, but Maverick Carter's thoughts on how to do things. I mean, I don't know how much they know about football or football or whatever they call it over there. By the way, we're celebrating the third birthday of ESPN Plus. That's right, it's been 3 years already, by bringing you three-pointers, hat tricks, 30 for 30s, and so much more. Celebrate with us today by streaming your favorite live sports originals and documentaries on ESPN Plus. And most importantly, our show, The Max Kellerman Show. What do you mean our show? My show, along with the Daily Sports Talk. By the way, I'm looking around. Who else is here? It's my show, damn it. Along with Daily Sports Talk. Thanks for joining us the past 3 years. If you don't have ESPN Plus yet, by the way, yes, I'm shilling for ESPN Plus, but I'm also telling you the truth in this case. Like, my private opinion matches up with what I'm telling you right now. You got to join. Like, join up. Sign up for ESPN Plus. You will not be sorry. You know what we find now is, like, a lot of streaming services, people sign up, they get, like, the event they're looking for, and then they, like, get rid of it, right? That way they can just kind of strategically pay that month, this month, that month. ESPN Plus, once you get it, you want to keep it. I can't tell you how many boxing matches, MMA fights, UFC fights, how much archival footage you have access to. Remember in the old days, it was, what was it? ESPN Insider, right? Basically, instead of Insider, you got Plus now. They just basically added live sporting events and original programming and archival stuff. I got to tell you, ESPN, like if you're traveling or whatever, you just have ESPN Plus on your phone, you're good. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Ed in Michigan, you're on the Max Kellerman Show.
You know, I enjoy your show, but I have to call you out a little bit on you talking about history with this Georgia law. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, based on what you said, history is not your friend or maybe not even a mere acquaintance, because if you think of any country in the world that has ever fought against slavery, there's only one, and that's this country. And
first of all, I'm a history. What are your history credentials? I'm just curious.
My history credentials? I guess the history I did in...
The history what? You cut out. I'm a history major from Columbia, and I assume at least if you think that I don't have a passing acquaintance with history, then you are very well read. The question is, what are the sources that you are reading? That sounds like political slant to me. In fact, well, we can get into this another time. There's too much to get into. But in fact, we're the only country that fought against slavery. That's not true, number one. And number two, slavery persisted in this country past the point that it persisted in the rest of the Western world. So that's a deep subject, and we can get into it another time. I'm like, what are your history credentials? My history credentials. Yeah. Breaking up my history credentials. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Be back tomorrow, Monday. Perf.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.